During each session, our cast not only tries to survive the cruel Dungeon Master's plans, but also reviews a delicious bottle of liquor. Remember, whether you're adventuring through a fantasy world or just listening to ours, please drink responsibly. Welcome to Helios, a land full of adventure, mystery, and intrigue. Will you be a traveling bard telling the tales of adventurers that came before you, or perhaps a Goliath from the Balmorian Plains looking for the greatest prey? Whatever you choose, do remember one simple rule. Beware the chains of Emrys. Helios is ruled by an apathetic elder god named Emrys, and his chains enforce his will and subjugation across the land. Will you bend the knee and submit? Perhaps spend your life fighting against Emrys, or choose to live in ignorance and be carefree. The choice is yours, but remember, in Helios, no good deed goes unpunished.
The creation of Helios, 10,000 BD to 7,000 BD.
Alone, Emrys seethed in the chasm, looking upon the world he created called Helios. At this time, Helios was just a continent with a single tree growing from it. Emrys watched this tree grow for thousands of years, until one day the tree's roots had spread all across Helios. It was on this day that Emrys gave that tree a divinity spark. With that spark, the tree became the god Galen, the first tree. Galen twisted and turned, breaking their branches free and causing the one landmass to split into many. Galen spent their first years forming these new continents. They first created a floating island above the chasm and named it Theos Island. They then went northeast to create Pelios, then to the west to create Aurora. To the south, they created Dasaki, and lastly, to the east, they created Aelios. Galen, taking the divinity spark, then created three daughters, Yidia, Trice, and Varea. To Yidia, Galen gave dominion over the land. To Trice, Galen gave the ocean. And to Varea, Galen gave the sky. Yidia started to create the animals of the land and believed the strong should eat the weak. Trice saw the chaos of the ocean and fell in love with the everlasting waves and created the fish and mammals of the ocean. Varea saw the wind and how it could carry beast, leaves, or even messages, and knew those messages could bring weal or woe, and created the animals of the sky.
The Dragon Wars, 7,000 BD to 6,100 BD.
As time went on, the sisters three wanted to create an animal together, one that could enjoy the earth, waters, and skies of Helios. They joined together to give birth to a pair of twins, Rastus and Mastus, the first dragons. Rastus saw what Galen and her mothers had created and loved it so. Rastus asked permission from her mothers to create her own race of dragons, to which they said yes. Rastus took every element and molded each into a dragon, creating the chromatic dragons. Mastus, though, grew jealous of his sister's creations, and without permission, he took the metals of the earth and forged them into his own dragons, creating the metallic dragons. The benevolent chromatic dragons and the malevolent metallic dragons' hatred grew for one another in a rapid pace, until one day the fire of hatred took over all of Helios and the first war had begun. For almost 800 years, this war raged on, until one day Emrys came up from his throne and ordered the violence to stop. The twins had no choice but to comply, but they knew without some type of treaty, the fires of war would eventually rise again. Rastus and Mastus came up with an idea. Instead of a written treaty, they would create a living one, a race mixed of both chromatic and metallic bloodlines, a race they would call Dragonborns, the first humanoids of Helios.
The creation of races, 6,100 BD to 3,400 BD.
Galen grew tired and needed to rest. But Galen looked at their daughters and saw how they fought between each other, and the twin dragons were still at each other's throats. Galen realized the Dragonborn needed help to keep the peace. Galen ripped some bark off, put a divinity spark into it, and planted it in the Veldolian woods. The grass, leaves, and moss of the forest grew around it, forming a cocoon. Hours later, from this cocoon came Gilivar, the first elf. As this was going on, Galen went to the top of Criden to rest. After a few years, Gilivar realized she needed her own race of people to help keep the peace. She took the leaves and grass from the Veldolian woods and shaped them into the High Elves. She then went to the Malinlas backwoods and cut down some of its trees, and from the wood, she carved the Wood Elves. The Dragonborn and the Elves together were able to keep the peace between the metallic and chromatic dragons. Galen's slumber atop of Criden took effect on the Cryo Volcano, giving it a divinity spark. The liquid ice took the form of the first dwarf, Thramir. Thramir looked at the liquid ice he had came from and saw a workable material. He started crafting boats, weapons, armor, and buildings from it. Life was lonely without a mate, so Thramir went to the Vrelin Mountains and molded Rivera from its rocks. With a divinity spark, she became the Stone Maiden, the first mountain dwarf. Thramir and Rivera were madly in love. Thramir wanted to adorn Rivera with beautiful jewelry. However, he was not great at crafting jewelry as he was weapons and armor. He needed some help. Thramir went to Forgas and pulled the metals from it and gave it a divinity spark, creating Biltwix, the first rock gnome. With Biltwix's help, Thramir gave Rivera all the jewelry that they could make. Thramir and Rivera then wanted children. Thramir took the liquid ice and forged it into the ice dwarves. Rivera then took the stone she was created from and created the mountain dwarves. Though living in separate parts of Helios, these races loved one another, much like their parents loved each other. Biltwix then took the metals and jewels he was made from and created the rock gnomes, a curious, creative race. Over the years, Biltwix had become enamored with Gilivar, the first elf. He wanted to do anything to impress her. Seeing how she was from the forest, it gave him an idea. He would create a race for Gilivar. They would be a mix of his gnomes and her elves. The curiosity of rock gnomes, but the love for nature like elves. Biltwix went into the Lydian forest and created the forest gnomes. But he did not tell anyone about them for many years, letting them live in secret until one day he could surprise Gilivar with a new race for her. This was Helios's first secret. After hundreds of years, Biltwix finally showed Gilivar the forest gnomes that he had created for her. She fell in love with them, but unfortunately, she did not fall in love with Biltwix. However, over those hundreds of years, Helios's first secret grew in power the longer it stayed a secret, till one day it became Lilith, the drinker of secrets. Lilith wanted to learn all the secrets and knowledge of the world, but she could not learn everything fast enough. She took some of Varea's birds, the ravens and the crows to be exact, and shaped them into Kenkus, a race dedicated to spy on people and learning all their secrets. This still was not enough. Lilith then created a brother, Volius. Volius, however, did not lust for secrets as she did, for he lusted for adventure and action. Volius left the shadows and emerged into Helios. He saw all the long-lived races and wanted a race that would spread across the lands and live a life of adventure and action. So he created the humans, the first short-lived race. The humans spread across the lands, populating parts of Helios that had not been seen yet. One day, an elf male and a human female met and fell in love with one another. Even though they could not have kids together, their passion could not be stopped. Till one day, she became pregnant. Both races casted them out, and fearing for their lives, they fled into the Hungin jungle. What was born from them was a new race with qualities from both parents. They named him Zankros, the first orc. Growing up in the Hungin jungle was not easy, though, for there were dangers everywhere. When Zankros became of age, he left the Hungin jungle and wanted to see the rest of Helios. He thought it was going to be a bright, beautiful, peaceful world. To him, it was not. All he saw was more chaos. Zankros then descended into the chasm and pleaded with Emrys. He wanted a divinity spark for with it he would be the judge of the world and bring it to a lawful state. Emrys agreed. With a divinity spark, Zancros went back to the Hungin jungle and created more orcs. Zancros knew that in order to bring the world to a lawful state, he would also need spies and scouts, which his orcs were not suited for. He gathered the shade from the jungle trees and formed Bazaagrim, the first goblin. Zancros spent years training Bazaagrim. But resentment and hatred was the only thing that grew inside Bazaagrim. He eventually tricked Zancros into giving him a divinity spark. With it, he created thousands upon thousands of goblins. With this army of goblins, Bazaagrim led a revolt against Zancros and his orcs. The city of Umbral was able to hold back the assault, but before Zancros could smite the usurper, Bazaagrim escaped. Bazaagrim then took his goblins to the Korthok cliffs and founded Zem, the city of slaughter.
The demonic invasion, 3400 BD to 1 BD.
Before Galen rested, they started working on a new continent to the southeast of Helios. Since they were unable to complete it before resting and without proper tending, the land grew corrupted. Out of this corruption came Belagosium and Cleojara, the king and queen of demons and devils. Without knowledge of why or who created them, they started making the land in their own image and eventually their own race of evil beings. These shadowlands couldn't support their creatures forever, though, so the king and queen built a naval fleet to explore and conquer the rest of the world. The first continent they found was Aelios. They landed in the Golden Marsh, but the Golden Marsh became corrupted by their presence. What was once a fertile land is now a bog of filth and stench, the Onyx Swamp. For 13 years, the Shadowlands forces wreaked havoc across the land. It wasn't until Volius pleaded with each race that all the races, even the goblins, united against these evil creatures. However, their forces still weren't strong enough to push back the invading demonic force. Yidya, Trice, and Varea came together once again to create new races. From the earth, Yidya created the Goliaths. From the water, Trice created Tritons. And from the wind, Varea created the Aarakocra. With these new races, the army of Helios was able to push back the demonic forces to the Shadowlands. Though the war had left the land ravaged with people sick and dying, this spawned disease. Through all the bloodshed, muck, and mire, Morin was created, the mother of darkness, disease, and pestilence. She saw Helios and wanted to rid it of all of its life. Morin didn't want to create her own race, but instead, she wanted to corrupt all others. She created diseases that would transform other races into monstrosities and aberrations. The Decrees, 1 BD. While Galen slept, a small insect had burrowed into their back and slumbered with Galen. When Galen awoke, that insect had siphoned part of their divinity spark to itself. This insect became known as Lorn, the god of insects and unity. Galen traveled the world of Helios to see how their creation turned out, but everything Galen saw, they did not love. What was once good and bountiful was now evil and corrupt. Galen went down into the chasm and begged Emrys to help restore Helios to what it once was. Emrys's patience had waned with the races of Helios, so he made his first decree. He loathed keeping track of each different race's lifespan. Emrys snapped his fingers and made it so each race that was created after the dragons would age like humans, coming of age at 15 and dying before 100. This hurt no one more than Gilivar, since her elves were eternal. Most of the races were able to adapt quickly and change their mating habits. However, the High Elves refused to change their ways and soon after bred themselves out of existence. Gilivar wept.
After Decrees, 0 AD to 300 AD.
Gilivar stormed down into the chasm and demanded that Emrys denounce his decree. However, he did not listen and only said,
"You must obey and not remake your High Elves, for they were insubordinate and foolish. and that is why they are gone.
Gilvar gripped her bow tightly with thoughts of trying to fight Emrys. But with a heavy sigh, she knelt in submission and left. Her cooperation, however, only lasted so long. She could not recreate her high elves, but she could create a new race. A race that's entire purpose was to enjoy life as much as possible and to the fullest. So she created the halflings. Emrys seethed with anger when he found out about the halflings. With another snap of his fingers, he decreed,
"No more new races."
Emrys also decided he needed his own clergy in the world that would make sure everyone obeyed and were subservient to his will. The chains of Emrys were founded, and their first law was that only the clerics of Emrys were allowed to magically heal anyone inside a city. They decreed if someone needed healing, they would set a discerning stone on that person's forehead. If the stone glowed white, the chains would heal that person. But if the stone glows black, their life is forfeit. Thus began the current age. Anything before the decrees will be known as BD, before decrees, and anything after will be known as AD, after decrees. Most races were able to rebuild their population, but the first 100 years of this age were war-torn, with every city-state attempting to gather as much power as possible. Helios has returned to almost normal, but with the chains of Emrys all over, it's hard to feel free from their grasp. Thank you so much for listening to The History of Helios, one of three prequel episodes that we are releasing before our first actual play episode. Feel free to follow us on Instagram at Hammered and Helios, or subscribe to our Patreon at patreon.com/HIH podcast. We even have a subreddit named Hammered and Helios. Also, a special shout out to Marco Argiro for an absolute banger of a song, 20 Ways to Die. Find him on Instagram at TheMarcoLegiro. Our next episode, which is on the story of the heroes so far, comes out on June 20th.